Hi, I'm Eric Nakamura, and this is a Giant Robot Podcast with Rob Sato and Ryohei Tanaka. The reason we're doing a podcast is we have an exhibition called Paper Noise this Saturday, quite soon. Oh, that's a cat. We have a show called Paper Noise that begins this Saturday, and can you talk about how you guys came up with that name?
Just wrote a bunch of sentences in a notebook that around the theme of paper. Both of us work on paper, and I submitted them actually to you.
What's the other?
You're the one who chose.
What's the other ones? Paper Boys.
It could have been called Paper Boys, but I thought something about it was too wimpy, maybe. I don't know.
Paper Boys. Cute, I think.
Yeah, maybe it's too cute.
Yes.
Yeah, but Akko said that we would regret that one if we chose that one.
I felt like it too.
Yeah.
I did too, actually. I liked it at first, and then like seconds later, I thought, Paper Boys, that's not quite right. Like, that doesn't feel right for some reason, you know?
We are not really boys anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are paper old
men. Slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah, not just that. It just sounds like, I don't know. It doesn't feel like it's about art. It feels like it's about something else. And paper noise, for some reason, paper noise actually feels okay. I don't know. So I'm okay with that.
It's like, it was kind of a nice abstract name.
Mm. Yeah. Can you guys talk about how you guys met?
Sure. Do you want
to? Yeah, you go ahead.
All right. I mean, we just met at school?
Yeah.
Yohei.
We were in the same grade. College, CCAC, and I was at the dorm. I was at CCAC's apartment, and Robert's at the dorm.
Yeah. So the first year we didn't actually I saw you around campus, but we weren't really friends.
Right. I didn't know much about you.
Yeah. I hung out with our friends Joe Toe and Sean Boyle. And then I was kind of friends with Dave Cho at that point, and I know you were hanging around with him.
Oh yeah.
And then eventually,
me and Dave was a roommate.
Yeah. And then we moved in together.
Yeah.
And actually, all of us moved in together the next year.
The legendary 38th Street.
Yeah, the 38th Street.
Oh, you know, Oakland. I know it is Crab Shack. Crab Shack, right?
No, actually, that was before.
Oh, it's
the
before
first
Crab
house
Shack.
Before
oh,
the
that's
Crab
even,
Shack.
That's even more historical. Yeah.
That is.
Those are deep cuts.
No, I know that you guys kind of known each other for a long time, and I was wondering, I guess, can you talk about each other's work, right? Maybe, talk about Rob's work, maybe from that time to, you know, what you see now.
From that time to now?
Yeah, just the difference, you know?
Difference. The first year, I didn't know Rob's work at all, and second year, we are living in 38th Street. I've seen, you know, I wasn't sure what I was going to be, what major I was going to be. And I'm taking film classes, I'm print class. I took some illustration class. Since Rob and Joe Toe was taking same classes, they are doing assignment and same kind of assignment. It's one of the pieces he was doing for the longest time was a Father Time. The how big is that thing?
I don't know. 3 by 4 feet.
3 by 4 feet. And it's a lot of... our teacher was a Brown Story.
Legendary.
Legendary Brown Story.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of technique he taught was used by his staff. And compared to now, I don't know. Kind of same, but kind of not really. It's more like illustration. More like, we both liked comic books. So... I liked his work and Joe's work, and David Cho was living in, he wasn't living there, but he was practically just always there. And he made a card, the initial, the ABC, you know, alphabet card with famous people. And those are really funny ones. It's like,
I forgot about those.
Yeah. Norman Rockwell's N as Nintendo, And there's Nintendo system, and there's Norman Rockwell's head on the Nintendo system. I think that was my favorite one. What's the Charlie Brown? Clint Eastwood was Charlie Brown.
Charlie Brown,
yeah.
Well, it was different. It was celebrities as different roles, basically. But for some reason, Norman Rockwell wasn't Nintendo. Yeah. That was his role.
Yeah.
That's odd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Very good.
What about what did you remember about Ryohei's work? I mean, this is like how many years ago? Are we talking about more than a decade?
Maybe yeah, it's almost
14 years ago.
Yes, maybe almost 20.
Almost 20.
Because it was 1996.
Yeah.
Okay. So what was his work then? Was it paper cutting at that time?
No, I mean I think he was doing it, but we weren't really paying attention. Like it was just something that he did.
Not much. Yeah. Not much.
Just here and there.
Yeah, I was just making, because since I was doing paper cuts for, since I was a kid, I never thought that was like people,
would like it.
It's a big deal or anything. Just, so usually I like drawings, so I did a lot of drawings and paintings and print making. Mainly drawing.
Mostly Goethe is constantly drawing. And it's kind of the same.
As the paper cuts? Do they look similar?
No. Well, I mean, it's got his style in it, but it was always his drawings. I think have kind of more manic energy,
more manic. What's the speed? Fast?
Super fast. You're just like, I couldn't believe how much you drew when I first met you, and then how much energy was constantly being poured in. Like you could. Like your drawing is really based on your mood at the time, like the line.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
And it kind of remains the same. I mean,
well, I know
your drawing style is kind of, it was pretty set, but it's become slightly more, I don't even know if it's even more sophisticated now.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, it was compared to that time, I guess. Yeah.
So that means you both draw a lot, right? You draw. Yeah. I know, Rob, you draw a lot.
I still draw. I still draw more than most people, I guess. Like normal people, I don't. But I do draw often.
So can you talk about paper cutting? Because that's something that
it's good.
There's a few people that do it, right? Uh-huh. There's a few people that even like in our age group that do art. There's a few people that are around doing it.
Right.
How did you get into that? I mean, you said as a kid you did it, but then how did you re-pick it up?
As I was doing it as a kid, you gave me an interview a few years ago, some years ago that
I did?
In a Giant Robot Gallery, magazine, and the front spread page you gave me that questioning Q&A.
I forgot all about that.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, what are you talking about? Is this a different magazine?
Yeah.
it's us. Okay. I remember.
As a kid, I was watching the TV show, manga. I really liked manga and the anime, and the big robot anime or Ultraman, Kaiju. And I liked drawing since I was a kid. I was doing drawing first, but it's like a elementary school kind of age, and I draw first, and I cut the shape of the kaiju and make a little doll and do a role playing, there's a superhero and make it kaiju and make it fight, it's kind of too much work for me to start drawing first, and cutting is too much work. So I found out that folding paper in half, I cut it and open it, then draw into it is easier, because you cut half and open it, it's entire figure, it's half of the work. That's how I started cutting the papers and drawings also. Drawing was inside, and I then fight every day, like almost every day, like I have a stock of the monsters and creatures and robots. And I like more bad guys than good guys. So there's a few good guys and a lot of bad guys. There's an army of, it's like evil people. And
You said all this in that interview?
Did I?
How long was that interview?
It's like because I haven't been, you know, speaking English for quite a while.
Oh, you just think you got to flex it then.
Yeah. No, it was the interview was the paper interview that you gave me questionnaire and I because I was in Japan.
Oh, for the paper shapers?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, not the paper shapers. Right after paper shapers.
Oh, God, okay. You remember this really well.
Well, because I it's my interview. Like, I was really proud of it.
I forgot all about it. Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay.
It's cool.
Yeah. So that what was it? So I started doing that with as a kid, and I stopped doing it since like a seventh grade. I mean, it's all the bad guys are dead, or most of the good guys dead too. So I start not doing it. I may start doing like more drawing, illustration kind of stuff for the school newspapers and stuff like that in the middle school, junior high school. And then I was in the college, CCSE, I, you know, playing around with the paper cuts. Hey, I used to do this and making little figures. And some friends came, saw my work and really like amused by it. And I thought there's nothing to it because I've been doing it forever when I was a kid. And I thought, you know, it's nothing really big deal about it. But since people liking more, liking showing to other people, they liked it. So I decided to do more seriously. Yeah.
So I remember we were watching, we'd sit around for hours in front of the TV, but not really watching the TV, just drawing just as a group of people. It'd be like seven people in the room with the TV on and then just drawing. And then Yohei was doing these paper cuts. I mean, that's the first time I remember like really noticing it. It was Akko who was like, "What are you doing? This is really good. Like, you should just do this."
Interesting.
And then, yeah, you're like saying exactly what you were just saying. I was like, "What, Akko? This is no big deal."
Was it easy to like transition to that? Because that's like really kind of shocking, right? You're drawing all the time, and all of a sudden, someone you do a paper cut, and people are like, "Oh, this is even better, maybe." Right? Is that kind of an odd feeling?
Yeah, it's an odd feeling because I'm trying really hard. Drawing, all of a sudden, like I thought that was nothing, no big deal about it, become like a lot of people's like big deal. Hey, that's cool, and they're like, hey, I've been drawing. I don't even
know what your drawings look like. I forgot that you even draw.
I wonder
if it's good.
No, it's very over cartoony. The years. Yeah, very cartoony. Over the years, it becomes more paper cuts, more weight to my works, but. But the drawings, like, since I was doing, trying hard to be a good drawer or a good painter, that's like kind of disappointed me, like, for that matter. Yeah.
You're great, dude. You're still.
Yeah, I still draw.
Great drawer and painter.
I noticed it too. I'm seeing a lot of different styles now, right? Like, sometimes just text. You're doing just Japanese.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
I know you do portraits of people.
Yes.
Right? And then you do some bigger pieces, you do tiny pieces.
Mm-hmm.
What's the biggest piece you do? So maybe like a 20 by 24 or something?
Yeah, I just found one behind the bookcase the other day. I don't know who put it back there. Yeah, it was a super old one, but it was a gigantic.
Oh, okay.
Okay, probably, I think slightly more than that, I think. Yeah. Like more, like it's like a fridge that over there, behind you. That's about that size.
The size of that fridge, really?
Yeah.
That's huge.
For the Pete.
That
show on Oakland. I had like that big, like just tall one.
Cool. Is there a place where your work actually have a similarity? Because actually, on the postcard, I noticed when I was laying it out, I'm like, there's something that looks similar, in a way. I don't know if that's accidental or just happens to be the right pieces, but somebody asked me which one's whose, who's who, and I'm like, oh wow,
interesting.
You know, at first glance, they couldn't tell, but maybe it's a scale. It's a postcard, you know.
Right. Accidentally, like I've been doing more kind of slightly more symmetrical iconic stuff, which is what most paper cuts
are
going to turn out
to
be.
I think so. And too, I was talking to Akko this morning, so, like about not this morning, but there's some similarity to our works that
even the color kind of, there's a palette of some sort that you guys are almost matching in a way, right?
Huh.
At least on those postcards. Yeah, there's a tone.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
There's no bright red except for, I mean, you know what I mean? There's a real earthy look to them both.
Right, right.
And, you know, like yours could have been blue and pink, but they're not. So
yeah, yeah.
There's something
I think we've always, all of us have been sort of attracted to earthy.
Yeah.
Earth tones.
I am much, this is a spray. I spray it on the paper that become already on the paper. So I just find the paper that just started cutting. So it just, there's not much control of by just choosing the paper that is.
Yeah.
But the subject wise, I don't know, there's small things gathering around or like, you know, sticking together or making strange creatures and stuff are kind of similar in a way.
We spend a lot of time together.
Yeah, true.
Like absorb a lot of the same life, you know?
So what are you doing on, Rob, what are you doing on this, for this exhibition? I know that there's a, I couldn't remember the last one. It had like this, what was it? The similarity, like pieces, kind of like micro, you know, zoom in and I could see parts of it here and there. And you know what I mean? Like you did a big work and then I saw like small views of those works.
Yeah.
That big piece kind of thing. I know you did that last time. I mean, is that kind of like a thing you're doing again or is that just a one time only?
Yeah. I mean, there's, I've been kind of, before I would try to work on, one piece, like I would try to make this one piece that had every single idea that I had in my mind in it all at once, you know? And then that became like extremely exhausting. And it would take, you know, a year to even longer sometimes for it to finish the piece.
Mm-hmm.
It was a ridiculous and slow process. And so, yeah, now I've just been, kind of spreading the ideas out.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see,
well, I mean,
like stuff is related in, yeah, it's just a...
I mean, last time, I mean, there was this, like... it was kind of architectural, right? There was, like, a lot of
I mean, the one with John. With John Pham at Haunts. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of architecture. I mean, it was, like... I just saw it. I thought it was a whole different look than before, like, right? The grotesque and the super weird, it was becoming a little different, like, more abstract, more...
Yeah.
I don't know. It was kind of looking a little more... maybe things I can kind of understand...
Really? You didn't understand the stuff before?
Well, it was just kind of like crazy imagery put together, so I didn't quite get it all the time.
Yeah.
I would see things and go, oh, that part's neat, this is neat. I'd see, oh, look at that interesting thing there. Now I'm looking at it as a whole single piece that I can kind of like look at and just try to... It's not like I'm singling out any angle of it or any little part. Now, I like that part, but I don't like this part as much.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like there was those elements where I'm like, oh, this part's really neat. No, oh, that part's all right. Now it's like one image where I look at it as a whole right away and I think, whoa, this is like this grand single piece with many small things, but the big piece is what really wins for me.
Right.
You know, that's what really
takes over. Yeah, I've been working, I think, on more like composition, making sure that the piece stands on its own rather than trying to shove every single thing I can think of into this one thing.
So does that mean the past pieces had a single idea in it when it was like, if you're kind of like eviscerating your mind into a piece of paper,
right?
Like, was there like a single theme in it anymore? Or was it at that point just kind of a collection of images?
No, there was a single theme. I think, you know, like the way I still think about what I do is, you know, I'm putting my life into these pieces of, art or whatever it is that they are. Yeah, I think about them as, like, this is my thought process on paper about whatever it is that I'm absorbing in life.
Mm.
So, you know, like, if I have books that I'm reading, like the news, things that are happening in my personal life, this is the way that I process or commune with, like, the things that are happening to me, which includes, you know, like, fiction, like watching a TV show, those things, like, I think of them as happening to me. In a way. And then I'd like, you know, like process it and push it back out.
Are you doing as much research? I mean, I know you're a research buff, it seems like.
Yeah. You know. I think of it less as research now. Like before I'd be like, I'm going to go to the library and figure out everything I can about this one thing. And then, that became really, really tiring. It was like fun for a while and now it's not so entertaining. Like,
do you do that too?
Are you research? Researching? No, yeah. but I could agree with whatever he was saying before the research part. That my stuff is pretty much the same. That I'm putting the all the things around me, putting my works and even the in drawings and paper cuts. The paper cuts. I mean, into the yokai or like whatever I've read or like whatever the feelings I have at the moment. I'm more like directly into the my artworks, what it's a reflection of me.
So you have 100. You said you'll have over 100 pieces.
I have a lot.
What's going on in your mind, man? That's a lot of stuff.
It's just messy. It's a lot of stuff happening, but it's not really. Let's see, Rob's works. You can see it's more organized. The things happening on like it's random pieces, but it's organized on the places. But my stuff is small thoughts everywhere. It's like my style, I guess.
That means you're pretty crazy. Because I saw the pieces outside, and there's a whole bunch on top of a table.
Yeah,
and it's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Yeah. I don't know. Amazing. That explosion. That means crazy. Just amazing. Just thank you.
It seems like a collection. Mm-hmm. As a collection, is just like really insane. Maybe one at a time is not as crazy to me. Mm. When I see it all, I'm like, okay, you had one piece that says John Turturro.
Mm.
Like,
yeah,
who does art? Who does the art with John Turturro's name in it?
That's name in Japanese, and then paper cut. So yeah, I think that's idea is really funny to me. It's you know, whoever, I mean, you read it, you can read it in Japanese. Some Japanese you can read it, but people who won't read Japanese and there's some lettering says John Turturro, and people ask me what this says. It's John Turturro. Why? It's like,
yeah,
what I like that. Like people saying, why is this? I don't know.
Well, why? Yeah, do you like him?
I like him. John Turturro, Chris Walken.
Which John Turturro movie do you like?
I like Barton. I like Coen Brothers movies. Barton Fink, Miraz Crossing. Yeah.
What about Do the Right Thing, which isn't a John Turturro movie, but
yeah, Do the Right Thing is good. I like the Spike Lee, old Spike Lee. Yeah.
John Turturro,
I have Under the Giant. I have Spinach. Spinach spelled in Japanese. But it's a paper. Yeah, it's effort you put in.
That would be a good tattoo.
Spinach. What,
spinach.
Yeah. Yeah, for the Popeye.
It's the opposite of Popeye.
Yeah, you get them on your forearms.
Yeah.
What did you say? Spinach.
Yeah. I guess you can't eat that one. Though. Yeah. It's just words.
That guy eats an anchor.
Yeah. Maybe you should start cutting into leaves. Like leave it. like actual plants.
Oh, spinach leaves too?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Hmm. Yeah. So can you talk about what kind of scissors you use? Is it just standard or do you have special, Ryohei scissors?
I have two favorite scissors that, it's a crop scissors, small. One is purple, one is more sharp in the point.
Are they special or are they like just like, you know,
cheap
$3 scissors type of thing?
It's,
you know, like people that cut hair, they spend $100.
I know. Yeah. Not that expensive, but it's not for that. Like, I could use a dollar store scissors, but my scissors is about probably $16 or like around $20.
Oh, you're a big spender. That's a lot for scissors, actually.
But one of my favorite scissors I've been using since I was college is a proper one I got from, not the Safeway, but next to the Safeway. What was it? The CCSC.
Long Strokes.
I got it.
You bought it, right? Did you buy it?
I took it.
Yeah, you didn't buy it. You still have it, though, right?
I still have it.
That's amazing.
My favorite.
Okay, then in that case, it's almost like honorary. It belongs to you.
Yeah.
It's as if you paid for it, but you took it. You used it that long, so.
Yeah.
I guess it's okay. Kind of.
Yeah.
Awesome. So I know another thing, too. It's like, I guess one of the ideas is just strange that, like, instead of, you know, everyone's putting something down on paper, like you're adding watercolor, right, Rob? You're putting watercolor down. Mm-hmm. You're actually kind of taking away from paper, right?
Right.
It's just kind of a bizarre way to go because you're actually just creating negative space as your artwork.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of
right. If you think about it, it's kind of weird. Right?
I know. It's since I was it started as a paper doll when I was a kid. You know, fighting with it's a monster. Since I'm doing a lot of drawings, it's kind of like drawing with scissors, making shapes and interesting shapes and trying to make lines and shapes at the same time. And the line become actual shapes as a paper cut. So, the artwork that I don't know what to do with it for longest time because it's not the painting, but it's not the really sculpture or anything. It's not the 3D art, but it's a piece of paper cut doll kind of stuff that I was wondering, is it design or could I put in a frame or should I just sell this as it is? Or I made t-shirts. I didn't know what to do with it. Still, I kind of don't know how to
present. It's a strange thing because it's in between 3D and 2D.
Well,
it's an in-between dimension that you're working in.
That's true, huh? Well, there's a 3D element to it, right? A little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's...
I think that would... It's the best part about it. Yeah. It's like a slightly 3D. Oh, sorry.
No, but I think it's because it's a. Is it? But the 3D you're talking about, is it because it kind of it's folded and not exactly flat? Is that what you mean by 3D, or is it just because it's the shadows because it's, matter, right?
Yeah, shadow too. Yeah,
yeah. There's a shadow and it's like almost an object.
But it is 3D technically because if it's as thin as it is, it's still 3D.
Yeah,
right?
thin 3D it is.
Yeah, because the material you'll work like. The image is made directly by the material that you're working with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not paint on paper. It's paper...
Removed.
Reduced.
It is bizarre when you think about it. Yeah. Is there a history of that, like, in Japan? A little bit? I mean, they even have a name. It's called kamikiri, right?
Kamikiri, yeah.
It's paper cutting, but I mean... I don't know. I don't really know what it is.
I think mostly in like, here, I think it's silhouettes.
Yeah, but or silhouettes are snowflakes.
Snowflakes, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't see it as a... I mean, I guess there's some people that do it, but I don't really see this... I don't know the history of that in America.
The Mexican paper cuts.
Well, that's Mexico.
Well, that's good. Yeah.
I guess it's close.
It's pretty close.
Yeah. Chinese people do it.
Yeah. It's like doilies, too, right? Is that a paper cut? That's not a paper cut, is it?
Some are, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, paper doilies.
Paper doilies, but that's like a computer cut thing, isn't it?
No, it is. Now, it's
back a long time ago they cut doilies by hand.
I think so.
Didn't they sew doilies? Maybe they didn't. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, not paper.
I guess paper dolls. That's a paper cut technique. Paper right?
Yeah,
paper we had doll. Here. Anyways, yeah, in Japan, I mean, there's like it feels like there's a longer history. I guess because it's China too, right? China's been
probably.
Forever.
There's an entertainment that you go to the house and there's a whole magicians and storytellers.
Wait, magicians in a house?
Yeah, it's like an entertainment house. Rakugo?
Okay, I gotcha. And entertainment house sounds funny, but
yeah.
Okay, but
but it's a whole different kind of.
Yeah, it sounds like a euphemism for.
Yeah, for those places you go. Right?
The one you were talking about? The health?
Fashion health. Fashion health, where Yohei goes.
Fashion health, not much.
It's not much. I mean, sometimes, but not much.
Anyway, kamikiri is a paper cutting, act of paper cutting that, first artists or people who talks funny stories in between. Those storytellers, there's the magicians and there's people who does paper cut and stuff.
Live?
Live.
Just like improvisation.
Yeah, improvisation. Yeah, they wear kimono and they're starting cutting.
Oh, so it's just like a guy who makes balloon animals.
Yeah. Wow. Very close to that.
So a birthday party, they might come and make.
Yeah, actually.
So you do that too.
I do that too.
Yeah, I just brought it up.
I do that too.
You just did that last night.
Yeah.
Will you be doing that at the show on Saturday, live?
Would love to if you let me.
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
Because I know you do portraits, right?
Yeah.
Like of a person, and actually pretty good, right? Have you seen the portraits?
Yeah, they're good.
Like, they look like the person, kind of, right? Sort of?
No? Yeah.
It's a person. Yeah. I
have a few of me that look like me.
Yeah. Try to, yeah, you know, catch the mood of the person, of the day, the atmosphere. It's not like, you know, I'm pretty fast. I make, like, a one person per, like, 5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes? Yeah. I thought it was faster.
Yeah. Five minutes to four. Yeah. Depends on person, yeah. Uh-huh. Depends on size, but...
Some people have more cartoonish features.
And make it like, I don't know, that person kind of look like them.
What's the easiest, like, if somebody has a beard or glasses?
Yeah, bald head, glasses, and beards, more right. easier.
See, why is it okay... For a person to do a paper cut in person and then get, you know, make it and it's cool.
Yeah.
But then, like, if you did a watercolor in person and did a portrait, that's, like, really bad, right? You know, like...
Why it's bad?
Well
I think... Venice well,
Beach,
it depends on...
Venice Beach.
Oh, that. Oh, but it's the style.
Like, I mean, but, like, if you were to sit there with your watercolors and you bring it out, you're like, I'm going to paint portraits of you guys all in 3 minutes, right? And it's, yeah. like, everyone's like, oh, yeah, me. Isn't that kind of a bad... You know, you're going to sit there and do it? You wouldn't do that.
No.
You made it sound like it's not bad. I
think
then,
potentially it could be good, but it sounds horrible to do.
I don't know. For some reason, it doesn't feel good for an artist to do that. Like, any artist would be like, I'm not doing that. Huh. You know? But then, like, paper cutting, I think, is okay. Like, that's cool.
Yeah, it's true.
You know? Why is it some kind
because,
of...
Because it's rare, I guess.
Yeah.
Rare and, like... I'm a slight fast novelty too, to it. So, like, it's people don't see it often. And
oh, maybe never.
Yeah.
At least
and
here.
Yeah. And, like, if you're doing it, doesn't even look like them. It is usually look like them. But since the paper cuts, the act of my doing it, it's in front of you at the live performance, that's like, they get excited about it. And if it turns out it's not really look like them, but they're pretty excited. So happy.
No, because when you did it at, you did Paper Shapers.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Previous exhibition, it was awesome. You actually came out here and did it. I didn't even know you were going to do that in person, I think. I don't know what you were going to do, but I remember you just kind of did it, and I was just like, this is amazing. It was like a show.
Awesome.
Right?
Yeah.
It was like a band playing or something.
Cool. Yes, I'm always fascinated with, as an artist, that, like, I'm kind of soft person, and, like, I wanted the audience's reaction to what I do, just because since the artist is, like, on, you know, usually on the table and doing stuff, and you don't know how they react to the art, and that's what I kind of envy to the musician is they have a reaction of the audience and right away when they play the music, so that's like I'm kind of entertainer. I want to be entertainer.
So what about you, Rob? I can't see you fitting wanting to be an entertainer, but you're doing art, so does the audience feed any energy to you in that way?
No. Generally, no. I mean, it sounds really nice to have, like, instant gratification for something you do, but I've never done anything like that.
Oh, but I mean, at a show, I guess you get comments and stuff, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you talk to people about what's on the wall. But I think I've done live drawing a couple times or, like, water. And then my style of drawing is not going to get that kind of, like, oh. You know? But I it is interesting. Like, sometimes, like, you draw stuff and you hear people, they're kind of, like, you, like, make a mark and they go, oh. And then you make another mark and they go, oh.
Yeah. Wait, so what's this mark that gives them a wow?
I don't know. Sometimes I think it's like sometimes when it makes it kind of gross or like, oh, like it's going to make something cute. And then you're like, put something nasty and they're like, no. Yeah.
You can hear them. Yeah. You hear them. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Really? Oh my God. I didn't know you could hear them.
So every once in a while. Like,
is that when like someone asks you for a sketch or something or a drawing? Like, you know, what is that when? Or is that like when you're just among friends and then you hear it? It's more strangers, right?
I think it's more strangers. Yeah, among friends, like, they know what I'm up to. Well, actually, my friends generally don't care what I'm drawing at all. But I used to draw on the, like, taking public transportation a lot. And then, like, you'd get, like, just crowds of people every once in a while just gather around and watch while I drew. you know, like some lady sleeping on the bus, mm-hmm. like, and that kind of thing. Like, I make up one mark, even on this old lady. Like,
right.
It's in front of me. That's clearly like a wrinkle in her face. But then they, you know, like they'd be like, oh.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, you made
the wrinkles.
Yeah.
A lot of, they have a lot of problems with wrinkles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. That was mean.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I look old, but it's not... It's just a paper cut. It's, right. Like, it's like... It's not... There are not much details.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they don't... If they don't, there's no wrinkles, it doesn't even look like they don't right. care.
So that's the vanity of humans, I guess.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I was drawing this one girl in high school, and I drew her nose, and, like, I really nailed... Like, I nailed her nose, and she was, like, a pretty... girl, you know, and but she was really upset. she was angry with me.
Why did you?
She stopped talking to me for months
because of the nose.
Yeah, because I drew her nose accurately.
Well, if she's pretty, what was wrong with her nose, or what?
Nothing.
What
I mean, it was just
like about her nose.
It was an unusual nose, but it wasn't. You know, like it had maybe she had like larger nostrils than the average.
So she was this like, really good-looking like girl with giant nostrils.
It wasn't even giant.
Oh,
she
just,
she's just more conscious about the there.
Yeah, that's the part of her face probably that she like hates the most. Whenever,
I guess
I was drawing it, and
she's
and then she was
pretty
like,
enough to know that there's a feature she doesn't like about her face or something, right?
Right.
But most people know.
I mean, she was like not a very good person and super self-conscious, but we were kind of friends.
Yeah,
and, not anymore.
But yeah,
the same. Well,
we became friends again.
Yeah,
but then she was demanding that I. Like rip it up and throw it away because it looked exactly like her.
Yeah.
Wow.
They don't want to be exactly like what they see in the mirror. Right. It's like a lot of people doesn't work.
What are you showing on Saturday, Rob? Maybe I interrupted you. I don't even know if you explained it exactly.
Come on, that was a good story.
What? No. Oh, the nose thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were done.
No, we're done.
Okay.
Unless
you drew her again. Did you draw her again and fix it or something? Like,
no.
It was beautiful.
I was really confused at the time. There was no... I didn't know what I'd done, really.
Oh, okay.
That's more like... Yeah. Hindsight. I'm showing... watercolors be there's no way to describe them
really. I mean, are they all of a sudden different than anything you've ever done? Very different?
No,
just a progression.
There's a progression. Yeah, there's slightly, there's more.
Is it different than the works you showed in somewhere in Europe, wherever that was? Dublin? No, not Dublin. It starts with a D.
It was
right?
Copenhagen.
Oh, Copenhagen. Oh, Denmark.
Denmark. Yeah.
Oh, see, look at me. I remember the D, though, at least.
Yeah, there's a little bit of carryover from that, and then I did a little bit more of something that I showed from The Year of the Snake, like the people walking.
Yeah, can you explain that? Why are people in line? I mean, we're in line everywhere, but is that why? Or, all of a sudden, you've drawn it. I thought that was a one-time deal, Year of the Snake, people in line.
Yeah.
And then I know you've done more of that.
Yeah, for some reason, I'm really enjoying these tiny people, and they're all either like people like it's observations from life, so it's like people that I'm remembering from, you know, just being around. Or like I go out and like have coffee at a cafe, and then see somebody, and like I can put them in there, and it's I don't really know what I mean. I'm kind of relating them. I want people to make associations with worry dolls. So like they're about the size of worry dolls, and then
worry dolls.
Yeah, worry dolls. You know what those are?
No, actually, I'm nodding my head. Yes, acting like I know, but I don't know. What is a worry doll?
I thought that was Where's Waldo? You were, because in Japan, Japan's Where's Waldo is a Where's Wally?
Oh yeah, really?
Yeah,
Wally.
That's weird.
Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
But it's not. Yeah, what's a worry doll?
Worry doll.
They
I think
like
they're
that you buy at the
for me
you know,
doll.
You know, like, for 50 cents at a vending machine. It's a little little Mexican.
Yeah, no, I've had homies before.
Are they? Is that what's supposed to be? Or is that
no,
like
worry dolls are like from? I think they're from Guatemala.
Oh, so we're talking about something real, like serious, compared to homies.
Yeah, it's like a. I think the story is that in Guatemala, like. I don't remember the original story, like where they come from initially, but it's basically like you get these small dolls, and they're 3D, like they're carved out of or made out of raffia maybe, and like colored raffia, and then you can put them under your pillow. You tell them your problems, you put them under your pillow, and then you sleep on them, and then you wake up, and then your troubles are over.
Wow.
Kind of.
That's simple.
Like it's some place to like put your.
So it's a little man issue. Or a woman or a figure.
Yeah.
So you could buy one.
Yeah, you can buy like.
What do you do with after?
Yeah.
You keep them. Yeah.
Or something.
Just, I don't know. I don't know where that. I used to collect. Like my grandparents used to go to, or they lived in New Mexico for a while, and they used to bring them back from there. And I always asked. They come in like a little basket. But I when I was a kid, I thought it was a boat. And I said, can you bring more people in the boat?
But worry, like W-O-R-R-Y?
Yeah.
It's not like, okay.
Yeah, like...
I wasn't sure if it's like W-A-O-R-I or some kind of tribal name.
No. Like, worried.
Like you're worried. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be scary if you have to recycle.
Yeah.
Other people's worries in the door already.
Yeah.
That's really interesting. I had no idea.
Yeah, they're cool.
I didn't know they existed. So. But I was thinking more in terms of homies or...
Yeah, they're not action figures. Although maybe they're like there's some like superheroes.
No, I just looked at yours, thinking they're more like homies.
Yeah, maybe they are kind of homie. Like I put, you know, like friends, little images of my friends are in there. So it's not like I'm not giving them my problems. Some people, it's like people I'm painting that I'm worried about, and kind of like trying to give them some kind of strange metaphysical support.
Spiritual.
I know you have a scale to them too, right? And I know that they have costumes or the outfits. I know costumes is the wrong thing. Maybe just their outfits.
Yeah.
It's like some of that's like historical versus researched.
Yeah. And there's some figures from history. There's some like characters from plays or movies.
I thought you told me that there was one that was like 7'6" or something in it. Like height wise, he was very tall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, I think you did. I said, yeah. Oh, yeah, this one's a special, like, really tall one that was 7 foot something. I'm like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know.
I don't remember exactly. Yeah, at this point, there's been thousands of them.
Oh, so, okay. I really like those, by the way. That's an amazing idea.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. And I think maybe is that easier on you or harder to do?
I
mean, your works are generally, to me, they look very difficult, time-consuming, and all that kind of stuff. But are those harder?
Those are. I mean, they're difficult, but I always like. I want something kind of difficult to do. Usually, if I'm not having a hard time, I feel bored.
I think that's something that I've heard before. Right? It's like a struggle or something. And if there's no struggle, that means that piece might not be right or doesn't feel right.
Yeah,
because there's no. You didn't.
Feels like. I don't know if that has something to do with maybe issues with my like punishing myself for being an art. Maybe like I always kind of felt like I need to have a very serious work ethic because art can be very silly. I don't know.
Sure, no, that's like, true. Right?
Might be from.
It's a very
my Protestant upbringing.
But I think art's so abstract. If you do break it down, right? It's basically markings on paper that you're trying to sell to somebody else, or you're creating it.
Yeah.
I guess if you could sell it, that's great. In your case, I guess it's not marks, but it's holes. You're selling holes in paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You're selling marks, splotches of water.
Yohei's selling. We're both selling ruined paper.
Yeah.
Or just making ruined paper.
Yeah, making ruined paper. Worse. Yeah.
It's like I would. It's just something you've always done. So.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if I would. I'm pretty sure I would still be doing it even if we weren't selling it.
Mm.
Just
yeah.
To like.
Just making,
that's very strange compulsion.
It's
playing around.
It's the same reason why you draw in your book. Like Ryohei's drawing in his book a lot, but that's not to sell either, right? It's just
by fun.
So it's kind of cool.
Fun part.
Yeah.
So, is there a struggle when you're making your pieces in paper?
I mean, sometimes yes. I'm like once in a while, I have my sketches on my. I don't do the rough drawing on the paper. I just go in straight cut to the paper. But I sometimes do have sketches on my sketchbook. So I was referring to that I have some ideas. And sometimes I don't have an idea, just starting cut the funny shapes and making as it is, just like it's a freestyle. Sometimes just many times freestyle, but sometimes there's sketches and some. Yeah, like complicated one, big ones, since it's a paper, and like when you're wearing sweater and stuff, it's just like a lot of pointy, after you cut it, like pointy parts, it's kind of stuck, and it's easy to tear it off. So it's I have to be careful with that. And sometimes complicated ones, like, you know, one part, if you cut it, it just become two separate pieces, and that's the sometimes end of the story. So, God, why? Yeah, it's just a big mistake. Because everything is connected in one piece of paper.
Oh, and I see.
Yeah, right. That's a struggle, I guess.
So you just made a lot of confetti.
Yeah. Really? Yeah. Yeah, it's like one. Yeah, not a whole lot, but yeah. Like a lot of.
It's like the equivalent of making, like, turning a painting just into total mud. Like overworking it.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially in watercolor, right? If you add up all the colors, doesn't it just turn brown or something?
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're like, I mean, every painting. You had a little bit of red, you had a little bit of yellow, you had about all these colors, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, it's brown.
Yeah.
What happened to all the beautiful
restrain yourself.
Dark.
Yeah. I mean, that's why I started, one of the reasons why I had to do, I forced myself to get into watercolor, because before, as we oil painting and acrylic painting, you just work on it forever. And I never finish. Yeah. In watercolor, like, you'd have to
stop.
Yeah. You'd make the mark and it's done.
Yeah. Chris, you add, and this layer of layer and layers of painting.
It just never ends.
Yeah.
I guess there's mistakes in watercolor.
Lots of mistakes, yeah.
But is it all mistakes, kind of, in the end? I mean, in the end? Well, like, you can't control it, right? It's out of control, it's all mistakes?
It depends, though. You see some people's watercolor work, which I personally don't like. It's very controlled. Like, they're almost painting by numbers.
Mm. Yeah, like actually, I have seen that, too, where it's, like, too perfect, like, really perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised that I always think it's not watercolor when I see that.
Yeah.
And
then I expect watercolors to be a little bit fucked up.
Yeah, you'd be a little messy, like they kind of bleed into each other. Like, this is like the fun in watercolor. But you kind of you design the piece in your mind to absorb mistakes. You know what I mean? Like, it's built to be improvised and played with. Like, there's no set sketch really ahead of time. You're just throwing stuff at it and then like going to the next thing. You follow the chain of mistakes, basically.
Yeah.
So these are all like these great names of bands. Chains of mistakes.
Yeah, that sounds like a good like 90s.
Chains of mistakes. Chains of mistakes. You know, it's like hardcore. Yeah. And what was the other one? The paper one that you said, not paper noise, but it's like all mistakes on paper or whatever it is.
Wait, what?
We're talking about
name of the other.
We had like a
list of the
list of the names for the show.
Yeah, there's some of those are good band ones, but then we just said one just a bit ago that sounded like another band name. Hmm. You know, it was like
I didn't see that one.
Whatever,
making confetti.
That's a good one too.
Oh, ruined paper.
Yeah,
ruined papers.
Yeah, that could be a paper shop. Yeah. Maybe. Ruined paper. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, actually, my first show at my first solo show that you gave me at GR was Dirty Paper Machines, which was just like what I was calling watercolor paintings. Like, the way I thought about what I was making was that there are these like communication delivery machines that were made with dirty paper.
Was that the one? Ships, a lot of ships and planes.
Was it airplanes?
Yeah, I thought it was I thought that was more of a direct reference to airplanes.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
It was like
I thought it was.
They're both. It's all together. It's thrown together. Probably making a giant pile of mud.
I see. Cool, man. Anything else you guys want to add about this exhibition? I mean, I don't know. I kind of see it as almost this historical meeting again, but maybe I'm
really happy that
you guys are just friends. So anyway, so you see each other anyway. But for an exhibition, I don't know. I guess you guys have done it before. So
We never done just me and you.
You know, I'm really happy that you. Thank you, Eric.
Yeah.
That having us. Yeah.
I'm sorry about the shooting at the airport.
Oh, yeah.
I really didn't mean for that to happen.
No, I mean, it's okay. That was an interesting, memorable moment over this trip, I guess.
It's very American arrival.
Mm-hmm.
There was
it's like a diehard.
There was a high speed or low speed freeway chase today that went on for a very long time.
high speed, low speed,
or you know, yeah, freeway chase.
So like some guy driving 15 miles.
So
an
if you'd have watched it, if you would have watched it on TV, you would have seen that's another like great LA experience that you know you could have had. But cool
beans.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks a lot. Anything else you guys want to add?
No. I will be selling T-shirts and doing paper cuts and stuff. Okay, so it's gonna be a fun show.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I'm just gonna be there relaxing. I hope.
Yeah, with Glenn Morangi or Glenn Livett or old granddaddy. One of those, right. Okay.
From the Eric whiskey stash.
All right. Cool. All right. Thanks a lot. Thanks for listening. This is Eric Nakamura with Ryohei Tanaka and Rob Sato. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you.